ספר יונה. אז the Haftarah of Mincha on Yom Kippur, Sefer Yonah, is by far the most well-known book of Sefer Kriya Asar. As such, as we explore Sefer Yonah, we'll have an opportunity, perhaps, to explore some of the deeper themes and undercurrents running throughout the book. First off, the question is, who is Yonah? When did he live? The book does not tell us. All we know is Yonah ben Amittai is his name. However, in Melachim Bet, we find a prophet named Yonah ben Amittai during the time of Yerovam ben Yoash Melech Yisrael, about 50 years before the destruction of Malchut Yisrael. This would fit very nicely into the narrative of Sefer Yonah, simply because he's going to Nineveh, the capital of Ashur, and as we know, Ashur is the one who destroyed the Malchut of Yisrael. As such, it was a very powerful kingdom at the time, and it makes a lot of sense that Yonah would have a prophecy relating to the kingdom of Ashur. There are some other opinions found among the works of Chazal. In Seder Olam, they identify Yonah as the prophet sent by Elisha to anoint Yehu as the king of the Aseret of Shvatim. That would predate him about 100 years. Finally, another opinion, the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, identifies Yonah as the child who Eliyahu revived. That would also predate him a little bit more. Some modern-day scholars examine the language of Sefer Yonah and want to say that perhaps to postdate the book slightly from the time of Malchei Yisrael. It is possible that, as we know, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were the ones to collect all the Nevuot and place them in the Tanakh, and as such, their hand in the editing may have inserted some latter words. Either way, what this does seem to be clear was Yonah was talking about the time of the ascendancy of Malchut Ashur, and does seem to be talking about during a time period very similar to the time period we found Yonah ben Amittai in Melachim Bet. Finally, a question that arises in Sefer Yonah is, what exactly is Yonah's message? What is this book trying to teach us? Obviously, Tshuva plays a heavy role in this book. As we know, Yonah is called upon to call out to the city of Nineveh to do Tshuva. We read this on Yom Kippur for that very reason. However, there are several undercurrents that some of the Rishonim and others explore. The Radak points out that Yisrael, the Jewish people, are not mentioned once in the entire book. He therefore says it's possible that the book was meant as a musar to the Jewish people. One Navi, Yonah, was able to change the whole city to do tshuva with one simple nevuah. And yet Bnei Yisrael, tons of Nevi'im throughout the generations has been exhorting them to do tshuva, oftentimes to no avail. Another obvious lesson can be God's mercy on everyone. As we said, if we place this book in context, Ashur was about to destroy in 50 years the entire Malchut Yisrael. It was about to exile the 10 tribes, and 10/12 of the Jewish people were going into exile because of this people. This was their capital. And yet, God still had mercy on them and sent the Navi to warn them and gave the opportunity to do tshuva. It is never too late, no matter what the circumstances are, to return to God. However, as we'll see in Perek Dalet, that doesn't seem to provide the full picture of the book. Perek Dalet seems to be saying something more. Perhaps it's coming to tell us that not only are non-Jewish people also worthy of God's love, perhaps even to tell us that we should not begrudge other people's God's love. Even though it is true we are the chosen nation, we are the nation of Hashem, we are Mamlechi Kohanim, that does not mean we have, so to speak, a monopoly on God's love, and we can't choose to hold back God's nevuot, God's love, and God's acceptance of people's tshuva from other people, even though they may not be Jewish. Finally, the ultimate message of Yonah can be found if we look at a drasha in Yerushalmi in Masechet Makot, in which it states, they asked wisdom, what should happen to a sinner? And wisdom responded, Chataim teradef ra'ah, evil pursues sinners. They asked prophecy, one who sins, what should his punishment be. And prophecy responded, Hanefesh hachotet hi tamut. The soul that sins, it shall die. Finally, they went and asked God, the one who sins, what's his punishment? And God responds, let him do tshuva, and he shall be forgiven. It's worth noting that wisdom here is, we quote a pasuk from Mishlei, made from Shlomo, perhaps not through complete nevuah, perhaps the Ruach HaKodesh, in which the wisdom of Shlomo is able to shine through. The pasuk with which prophecy responded is a pasuk from Yechezkel, who obviously was a prophet. If we try to understand the message that Yerushalmi is trying to tell us, I think it becomes very clear. The message is, wisdom, justice, that would dictate that one who sins, he should be punished. And also prophecy, the prophet's message, the way God's intervention should work in this world, if all was perfect, would be that he would die. The sinner would die. However, God's compassion is above simple wisdom, is above simple human understandings of God's intervention in the world. And God's response is tshuva. Tshuva, then, is not something which makes sense, so to speak. It's not something which should happen in a perfectly just and a perfectly fair world. If you sin, you deserve to be punished. Tshuva is not something which comes natural. But yet, that's the response of God. And perhaps that's the message that Yonah is trying to teach us. As we'll see in Perek Dalet, it seems like Yonah is trying to run away from the prophecy, from the mission of God, because he doesn't want the people there to do tshuva. He doesn't understand why God is giving them this chance. And God is teaching Yonah, and Yonah learns at the end of the book that everyone is worthy of God's divine tshuva, and that even though perhaps in your ideal, in your mind, it doesn't make sense to you, God has mercy and compassion for everyone. Tshuva might not be rational, but it is divine. Throughout the book, we'll find instances, and especially in Perek Dalet, where we can see clearly that this seems to be the message of Sefer Yonah. Finally, lastly, Yonah can also be taken as an allegory to Yisrael, to the nation of Israel. Yonah himself represents Bnei Yisrael, the nation of Israel, and they don't understand God's divine will in the world, God's plan, so to speak, of how the world should run. And when God tells them to be a light onto the world, to lead the rest of the world in worship Hashem, they don't understand. They don't get that mission. They don't get how to succeed in that mission. They don't get how God, as we mentioned, could be forgiving to such people that done so much evil to Bnei Yisrael. And the answer at the end of the day is that God is divinely merciful. God has a plan, and it's our job to be a light in nations and lead everyone together to worship God. And even though it may seem at first that they should simply be destroyed, perhaps the message is we have to look beyond the destruction, just as God will do, and forgive them so that everyone can worship God together, much as the city of Nineveh does at the end. Of course, even if we do understand Sefer Yonah as an allegory for them and a message for the people of Bnei Israel, that definitely does not take away the fact that the story did happen and Yonah as a Nevi did exist, as we see other places in Tanakh as well. Pasuk Aleph, Vayhi Dvar Adonai El Yonah ben Amitai Lemor. And the word of God was to Yonah, son of Amitai, saying. We notice his name is Yonah, dove. Perhaps this assists us in the allegorically symbolizing Yonah as Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael, we know, are compared to a dove. A dove is a bird of peace. And perhaps this is a hint saying that Yonah doesn't just represent his own opinions, but perhaps the beliefs of Bnei Yisrael, and meant as a message to all the Jewish people. We also notice Ben Amitai. Literally, Amitai is truth, in it. And perhaps assisting us, and as we were saying before, the message of Sefer Yonah, and that Yonah was a man of truth. He understood truth to be what was fair, and didn't comprehend, perhaps, the divine mercy and divine wisdom as much as he was thinking of his own truth and justice, perhaps leading him to not understand how God could have mercy on this nation of Nineveh that was about to destroy the Aseret Shvatim. Pasuk Bet. Kum lechel Nineveh ha'ir ha'gedola u'kra aleha, ki aleta ra'atam lefanai. Get up and go to Nineveh, the big city, and call out against it, for its evilness has arose before me. Nineveh was the capital city of Ashur, on the eastern bank of the Tigris River, and as we see in Perek Dalet, was a very large city with over 120,000 people. He's told to call out against Nineveh. What exactly he was to say? We see in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, in which he says, in 40 days Nineveh is destroyed. Either way, what is clear is the gist of his message was something of the sort that Nineveh is going to be destroyed. Other Mefarshim understand he's saying, what is he calling out? The end of this Pasuk, that their evil has been seen by God. Yonah is going to tell these people, do tshuva now, it's your last chance because your evil has went up before God. God is aware, cognizant, and about to take action on your evil. Pasuk Gimel. Vayakum Yonah livroach tarshisham lifnei Adonai. Vayered yafo vayimsa oniyah ba'a tarshish vayten sechara vayered ba'a lavosh imahem tarshisham lifnei Adonai. And Yonah got up to run away to Tarshish from before God. And he went down to Yafo, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid its fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from before God. This pasuk obviously requires understanding. Yonah is clearly a Navi of Hashem, one who has a superior level of understanding, a righteous man who is a Navi. How then could he therefore think he could possibly run away from God? The question is further compounded when we see how many times it says in this pasuk, "Lifnei Hashem." It says it twice. And then finally, again at the end, this is repeated to stress the fact that Yonah really was trying to get away. Perhaps if we understand this pasuk in a different light, that Yonah didn't want to fulfill this mission simply because he did not understand God's divine plan. He did not understand how God could possibly forgive these people. And so Yonah therefore knew there's no escaping God, but he's going to escape the plan of God. He said, I can't take part in this plan of God to give mercy on these people of Nineveh. I can't understand it, and I'm running away milifnei Hashem. And Yonah clearly understands there's no running away from God. And he understands that what he's doing is essentially rebelling against the word of God. But he's saying, I'm a man of truth, I can't understand this, and I'm not willing to be God's partner in this plan. It's interesting to note Tarshisha. Tarshish seems to be a word meant to describe the oceans. As such, there were several cities around the oceans of the Mediterranean that had a similar name to Tarshish. Some of them were slightly variations. One popular option given is a city off the coast of Gibraltar in southern Spain called Tarshish. What is clear, though, is that any city in the Mediterranean would have been to the west of Yonah, whereas Nineveh, the capital of Ashur, would have been to the east. Thus, he's definitely running away the opposite direction from where he's supposed to go. He's trying to get as far from possible as this divine plan. Chazal point out that Yonah also might have been worried that if Hashem sees the non-Jewish nation of Ashur doing tshuva, he'll then look upon Bnei Israel, who are perhaps not doing tshuva, in a more unfavorable light. Alternatively, he was afraid once the people of Nineveh do tshuva, the prophecy will not come true of their punishment, and therefore the people will accuse perhaps Yonah of being a false prophet, or even graver, they will accuse God of not having the power or the will to punish the people of Nineveh. Pasuk Dalet. Vadunai hitil ruach gedolel hayam, vehi sa'ar gadol bayam, va'oniyah hishevel hishaved. And God cast a mighty wind towards the sea, and there was a great tempest in the sea, and they apprehended the ship's breaking. Clearly, this was no natural storm. God is clearly intervening in the story of Yonah to bring about his plan. This is clearly God's wind, not just any other wind. Pasuk Hey. Vayir'u hamalachim, vayizaku ish el Elohav, vayitilu et hakelim asher bonia el hayam lahakel ma'alehim. Vayonah yarad el yarkete hasefina, vayishka v'yiradam. And the sailors were afraid, and they called out each man to his God, and they cast the vessels that were in the ship towards the ocean in order to lighten it from upon them. And Yonah went down towards the bows of the ship, lay down, and slept. The pasuk conveys a frantic situation. Everyone yelling out to their God, praying with fervor, throwing out things out of the ship in order to lighten the sea. And what does Yonah do? Goes down and sleeps. Obviously, if we understand that Yonah knew he was choosing not to go along with God's plan, he understood there's nothing I can do here. I made a conscious decision to walk away from God. I'm not going to be part of God's plan. And yes, I understand God's punishing me, and I'm willing to take that upon me in order to not go against my principle of emet. I won't be part of God's plan of tshuva towards the neveh. And I know that has consequences. I know I'm being punished for it, but I won't call out to God because I am refusing to be a part of this plan. Pasuk Vav. Vayikrav elav rav hachover vayomer lo, ma lecha nirdam? Kum kerai l'elohecha, ulai itasheta Elohim lanu v'lo noved. And the captain of the ship approached him and told him, what are you doing sleeping? Get up and call out to your God. Perhaps he will consider us, and we will not be destroyed. Pasuk Zayin. Vayomru ish el ra'ehu, l'chuvin apila goralot, v'nida'ab shilimi hara'a hazot manu. Vayapiru goralot, v'yipol ha'goral al Yonah. And they said to one another, let us go and cast lots, and we will know because of whom this evil has befallen us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell out on Yonah. It's interesting to note, first of all, that Yonah never answers the ship captain's question in Pasuk 5, why are you sleeping? Go call out to God. We don't actually see Yonah call out to God. As we said, he's not calling out to God. He doesn't take the ship captain's advice. Additionally, it seems to be that these people understand that this is a divine intervened storm. A, they were calling out to God. B, they're casting lots. They know it's not a simple, regular, run-of-the-mill storm. Perhaps it was so extraordinarily large and sudden that it couldn't possibly be a natural storm. Perhaps, as Pekid Rabbi Eliezer suggests, only their ship seemed to be affected. Other ships in the ocean did not seem to be affected. Pasuk Chet. ויאמרו אליו, הגיד דנה לנו באשר למי הרעה הזאת לנו, מה מלאכתך ומאין תבוא, מה ארצך ואין מזה עם אתה. They said to him, tell us, because of whom has this evil befallen us? What is your work, and where are you from? What is your homeland, and from which nation are you? The people, seeing that the raffle had fallen out on Yonah, go and ask Yonah, why exactly is this following us? What did you do to cause all this evil upon us? Now she points out that they asked these seemingly irrelevant questions in order to get a better understanding of what he may have done wrong. Perhaps he had cheated in his business. Perhaps he was fine, but his homeland was an evil place. Perhaps his homeland was okay, but his nation that he was a part of was evil. So they were asking various questions to try to ascertain exactly the cause of the problem. Pasuk Tet. Ve'yomer alehem ivri anochi. Ve'et Adonai Elohe ha'shamayim ani yare asher asa tayam ve'et hayabasha. He told them, I am Hebrew, and Hashem, the God of the skies, I fear, who has made the seas as well as the dry land. Yonah here only answers one of their questions. He says, I'm an Ivri. I'm Hebrew. I'm Jewish. I fear God. He doesn't answer which place he comes from. He doesn't answer what his melacha is. All he has to say is those words, and it seems to be the sailors understand. There seems to have been a common acceptance of God, perhaps as even amongst the non-Jews, as the most powerful deity there was in the time. It is also possible that Yonah answered them on the other questions, and the Pasuk simply didn't see fit to tell us because they were not important. We do know, as we see in the next Pasuk, that he did tell them he was escaping from God. What is clear here is support that Yonah clearly knew God was can't run away from God. God is the Lord of the skies and the earth and the waters. There's nowhere you could run from God. Yonah knew that, and yet he's still running away and not fulfilling the mission of God, as we mentioned earlier. Pasuk Yud. Ve'yiru ha'anashim yirah gedolah, ve'yomru elav, ma zot asita? Ki yadu ha'anashim ki mifnei Adonai hu boreach ki higid lahem. And the people were afraid with a great fear, and they told him, what have you done to us? Where the people knew that he was running from before Hashem, for he had told them. The people here, realizing the situation they were in, got scared. It's interesting to note here, they're upgraded to Anashim, as opposed to Malachim, sailors, because they have a fear of God and expressing their fear of Hashem and His omnipotence. Pasuk Yudalef. Ve'yimru elav, ma na'aseh lach ve'yishtok hayam na'alenu, ki hayam holech v'so'ed. And they said to him, what shall we do to you, and the sea will quiet from upon us? For the sea was continuously becoming even more stormy. These sailors, as we mentioned, that clearly recognize Hashem, turn to Yonah, the Navi of Hashem, to ask what to do. It's interesting to note that the non-Jews, the sailors, are portrayed in such a positive light in this story, perhaps relevant to the point of Sefer Yonah, that divine justice is for everyone, that repentance is for everyone, and not just for the Jewish people. Even these non-Jews can have an awareness and recognition of Hashem. Pasuk Yud Bet. ויאמר אליהם, סעוני והטילוני אל הים וישתוק הים מעליכם, כי יודע אני כי בשלי הסער הגדול הזה עליכם. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea, and the sea will quiet from upon you. For I know that because of me, this great tempest is upon you. Once again, Yonah is aware of what he's doing. He's aware that it's his responsibility, and he tells the people to throw him overboard. פסוק יד גימל. And the men rowed hard to return to the dry land, and they could not, for the sea was growing stormier upon them. The people didn't want to give up Yonah so quickly. Either they really cared for Yonah, or perhaps thought that by giving up Yonah, they would be in an even worse situation. We translated Vayechtiru as road hard. Literally, it means to dig, indicating the action that one takes when rowing hard. It's as if you're digging into the water. Pasuk Yedalud. Vayikru l'Adonai v'yimru, Anna Adonai, Anna noveda b'nefesh ha'ish hazeh, v'al titen alenu dam naki, ki ata Adonai kasher hafatzta asita. And they called out to God and said, please, God, do not let us perish for the soul of this man, and do not place upon us innocent blood. For you, God, as you have wished, you have done. Here, the people call out a prayer to God before they go through this drastic action of throwing Yonah overboard and say, it's your wish to kill Yonah. It's your wish to place upon the storm. We're just doing what we must in order to survive. Please do not place upon this blood on our heads. Pasuk Tetvav, Vayisu et Yonah, Vaytiluhu el hayam, Vayamod hayam zapo. And they carried Yonah and tossed him into the sea, and the sea stood from its raging. Pasuk Tetzain, Vayiru hanashim yira gedola et Adonai, Vizbachu zevach l'Adonai, Vaydiru nedarim. And the people feared a great fear of God, and they brought sacrifices to God and made vows. The people seeing clearly the act of God, the hand of God, no one could any longer deny this divine intervention, and therefore had a great awe or fear of God for the awesome power that he was able to do, brought sacrifices, and made vows to show their allegiance, so to say, to God.